Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, everyone, and happy Monday. I am sure that you, like me, are trying to just recover from the weekend and get back into the schoolwork or work or whatever it is that you have to do in this busy month of December. And we are doing all the things, aren't we? Well, today we have some encouragement for you in the holidays. We're going to be talking about joy. Now, sometimes during the holidays, we can let stress get the best of us and we feel stressed. And I have talked about that in the last couple of weeks and thinking about when you are experiencing holiday stress, asking yourself, is this stress imposed by myself? Is this stress self-imposed or is this imposed by someone else? And listen, friends, if you are imposing stress on yourself and trying to just run around like crazy to do something that really, the truth is you're the only one who cares about that, then I would just encourage you to take a step back and don't let stress steal your joy in this holiday season. Today, I have got a guest with me here in the studio. So exciting to have somebody in real life. I've got Valerie Ellis. Now, she is a children's book author, a speaker, and she's a founder of the multi-author online resource, Our Everyday Parables. It is such a great website. You really should check it out. And it offers book reviews and all kinds of parenting resources for families pursuing faith and compassion. A certified teacher, Valerie is passionate about helping kids and parents connect with God and each other in the everyday moments, which is just what it's all about. So she's got books, one that was in October of 2023, and we are going to do a giveaway. We have a Christmas Lift the Flap, beautiful, beautiful book called Share the Joy, and we're going to be giving away a copy of this today live on the air. So don't go away if you want to win an autographed copy of that book. We will be giving it away. And she has more coming out. She's a member of MOPS and Moms Next and the Texas Library Association. She is a fellow Texan. We have so much to talk about. Valerie, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, it is so fun when we get to talk about joy. Like a lot of times on this show, we talk about some deep things. Not today, friends. Not today. Today is going to be a fun day. So Valerie, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to know the Lord? What's your story?
Sure. Well, about me, I'm a mom with two boys, ages 9 and 12. My husband, Josh, and I live here in Houston, and I am a children's book author with more books coming out in 2025. I'm very excited. Those are in process right now. I love visiting classrooms and speaking with parents and families, and I also work with nonprofits in the area. And as far as my story, my parents gave their lives to Christ shortly before they were married. And I start my story there because though my faith, of course, has come a long way, When I received Christ as a child, they were instrumental in helping me start that walk. And I've had my ups and downs for sure. And I'm grateful for God's grace and just his relentless love and just pursuing me no matter what.
Well, I love that. And how did that journey transition to you becoming a children's book author and starting this ministry that you did?
Well, there are a lot of layers to that. But I think the key was when I had my own kids and started trying to introduce them to the Lord that I love so much and wanting them to read, you know, with me. Of course, there are a lot of ways to introduce our kids to the Lord, but books were important to me. And so I wanted to use that. And I realized my son, though he was not opinionated about very many things, was very choosy about his books, which really caused me to dig in and get to know him as a kid and just started me thinking about like what could appeal to him. And some of those ideas, I thought those will really help other parents too. So that's kind of what started me on that journey.
That's so exciting. And so what do your kids say now that their mom's an author? That's so exciting.
Oh, they are thrilled. They're excited. And even though they're older, they really get the excitement of it and just I've tried to take them along the journey through the ups and downs too, just as a, you know, a learning of like, things don't always work out. We keep trying, we keep going. And so we're all just celebrating right now. We're really excited.
Well, you know, I love books too. I always have. I've always been that bookworm. I mean, if you can picture me in junior high, I had the Coke bottle glasses. Imagine me in a pastel Argyle sweater vest with a lace collar and pastel pants and saddle shoes, right? Like I'm the one that's sitting. Did you? Yes. Hope you see it. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me about kids today is that they don't read as much because they have so much access to digital information to read. So they're reading, but they're reading on social media. They're reading bite-sized pieces of information. And I love that you have this book to introduce early because we can introduce our children to a love of learning early. And I think about, you know, even now, I mean, my kids are older. And honestly, Valerie, like, they probably wouldn't love for me to say this, but I'll say it anyway. Kids, forgive me. I still read out loud to them. Like there's something really special and magical about reading out loud to your kids and sharing the adventure of a story together. I really love that. Well, let's dive into this book. This is a book for preschool. That's great for preschoolers because it's very tactile, has lift the flaps, it's bright colors. It's called Share the Joy, a Christmas Lift the Flap book. Tell us about this book.
Yes. So each page shows families celebrating favorite Christmas traditions. And then when you lift the flap, they're expanding that activity to share the joy of Jesus, either by showing love to their family, giving to people in need, employing their talents to bless others, or sharing gratitude with God through prayer. And the rhymes, the flaps, the detailed illustrations make it just plain fun. But for families that want to go deeper, Share the Joy can get kids excited about loving their neighbor as they celebrate Jesus, who, after all, is the greatest, most loving servant of all. So we're kind of modeling, I mean, he's our model as we go into this season and try to serve and share.
Well, this book is great for preschoolers. So how do you involve older kids and teenagers in sharing the joy of Christmas?
I love this question because as kids grow, the tone of our faith activities needs to match their maturity. We don't want them thinking Jesus is just for little kids or church and these activities are just things I do when I'm little. My own kids have outgrown that preschool age, so I'm in the throes of this myself and finding that I need to give my kids more ownership of how they live out their faith and to try to go from like guiding them to empowering them. So there are lots of ways to do this at Christmas. And one tool we've designed to make it easy for kids of all ages, really, but especially the older kids, and we'll get into that after I describe the activity, is the Share the Joy jar. So this is part of the activity pack that you can get when you order the book and go to sharethejoybook.com. And it has 24 cards that families can print, and each card has an idea for bringing joy to others. So you decide which cards go into the jar because, you know, like as you talked about at the top of the show, this can be a stressful time. And the last thing we want to do is add to that. So, you know, even if you just add a couple into a jar, choose how often you want to draw them out. And then it's a fun way to get the family involved in serving and caring. Now, some of the cards are very simple and focused on the family because often the hardest place to remember to show love is with those we live with. We can forget kindness most easily there. Other activities are community focused, but all of them aim to take kids out of themselves to experience the joy of investing in things that last. And this can actually be a protective factor against those post-holiday blues because we can look back at our Christmas experience and say, oh, look at all the things that we did to bring joy to others. So when you're using the Share the Joy jar with older kids, you can really let them be part of the planning. And you can ask them to help you decide which activities to place in the jar. Encourage them to add their own ideas too. And kids are amazing and they often see things that they don't talk about with us. I know you talk about that a lot on your show too.
I do.
And when we bring up that conversation, it can just be a flood of ideas. So then they can also help determine the schedule with your guidance. Maybe you want to draw one out every Sunday of Advent, or maybe over Christmas break, you just draw out a couple because you're off of school. You have a little bit of extra time. But often it's great to just say over this holiday season, we're going to start this new habit and we're going to just do one. just going to do one simple thing and draw out that one idea, and then continue once a month through the rest of the year, or whatever fits your schedule. It can be a small step, but it can mean a lot to kids as they get that faith, those faith ideas into their muscles and really act it out. It can really stick with them. And that's especially true for older kids.
I love what you just said about get that faith idea into their muscles, like into their muscle memory, because these things have to be, they're not taught as much as they're caught over time, but it does require intentional engagement. And I think sometimes just in the busyness of the season, we fail to do that, you know, and if we're really honest, y'all, we can be very self-reflective at Christmas time. You know, when's the family gathering? Have I gotten a present for Aunt Gerda? You know, and what am I going to make for the family gathering? And what am I going to bring for the school thing? Because honestly, I think that can be super intimidating. Valerie, I'll tell you, I'll never forget going to my son's kindergarten Christmas party. And, you know, it was right when Pinterest came out, and I walked in and I thought, this is literally nicer than my wedding reception. Like my wedding reception was in a gym. We had like, you know, carcinogenic cookies and punch. Like
100%. Yes.
And now these kids, you know, they've got monogram stockings. They each had a cookie with their name on it. Now I am not denigrating anybody who that is your spiritual gift, because I need people like you in my life.
Please,
to make me
same.
A good mom, mm-hmm. you know, because I have none of that, absolutely none of that. But honestly, Valerie, you know, the month of December is the busiest month of year. You have been a teacher and you see this, the hustle and bustle. What wisdom do you have for families who look at the school and church calendar and they see, like, even tonight, I got a band thing I'm going to, which I'm excited about. I really am. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it's all of those things. And what do you say to families who are in that hustle and bustle?
Yes. Well, from my experience as a teacher and talking to students, you know, I just want to encourage parents that it's often the simple things that stand out to kids the most. And the little things we do over time can really make a big difference. But as a parent myself, I struggle with this. I definitely do. And we want Christmas to be special and meaningful, but also fun and festive and also quiet and cozy. And we want it to be everything. And what honestly helps me, and I hope this doesn't sound too out there, is sometimes I will just look at my hands, my two hands that God gave me that have limits, and just say, you know, God, what do you want these two hands to do? And I just find that really grounds me, because if I look at my calendar, I can start to get out of control. And maybe that prayer pause doesn't change my calendar, but it can help me approach those activities with a little bit more intention, a little bit more peace.
I think that's such great advice. I mean, really, grounding techniques are used in therapy even, you know, to say, okay, all right, I see all of this that feels like the world is a tilt-a-whirl, you know, going around you, but just looking at your two hands and thinking, what can I do with these two hands? And, you know, I say that kids want your presence more than they want your presence.
True.
They want you to be there with them. They want to enjoy these things together. And I think so many times as moms, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have that perfect Christmas. Like, we have to have the matching pajama picture. We have to go to a Christmas tree farm and preferably have family photos there. You know, we have to go on the Polar Express, or at least watch the Polar Express, or, you know, you've got to go to a concert, or you've got to have, you know, the package is perfectly wrapped. And that is not what our kids care about. I mean, I would ask the average listener, can you remember every single gift you got when you were 8 years old? Like, can you remember that? No, but you probably remember a family interaction. You remember something that you did together. And so parents, we have really got to restrain that consumerism in us, or that, you know, materialism, or just the temptation to really get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the season. And sometimes our best bet is just to say no. Maybe it is quiet and cozy, Valerie, where we just come back and it's just hot chocolate night and, you know, watching your favorite Christmas movie. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about Christmas traditions, and Valerie's going to share her favorite Christmas tradition. And when we come back, we're going to give away a copy of this book to the first caller. I'll give you the number when we get back. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to this Monday edition of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. And we have a guest in studio today. So exciting for me to always see somebody in real life, Valerie Ellis. She is a children's book author, a speaker, and a founder of the multi-author online resource, Our Everyday Parables. This is basically a bunch of her friends and colleagues who give you all kinds of insight. And I have to tell you, I've been browsing it. It's hilarious. It's funny, too. Just like your microphone that won't stay up. Okay, we're having some technical issues. Don't worry here. Okay, we got it all under control. It's all good. Right? Yeah, we're moms. Like, we can roll with it. Well, Valerie has written this beautiful Christmas book. This is a board book, a lift the flap book that would be perfect for that preschooler in your life. And I'm holding it here in my hands right now. It is autographed by Valerie. It's called Share the Joy, A Christmas Lift the Flap Book. And guess what? We're going to give away this signed copy right now. Let me give you the number. It's 1-888-589-8840. I'm going to give it one more time. 1-888-589-8840 to the first caller who calls in. We are going to give away this Lift the Flap, Share the Joy book. So go ahead and call in. We'll get your name and your information, and we will get that on your way for Christmas, which is exciting. Looks like, do we even already have a winner? Okay. Looks like we already have a winner. Y'all are going to have to be faster on that phone. We'll announce who it is in just a minute. Congratulations to whoever that is. Now, before the break, we were talking about just sharing the joy. And Valerie gave some great tips for older kids, especially, to share the joy. And I have to tell you, Valerie, those are some of my favorite traditions, are ones that don't serve our family, but help our family to serve others. I'll tell you, one of the things that my family has done is that we've adopted a family, you know, for Christmas, which I know there's a lot of families that do. But one year in particular, my youngest son was probably around 6 or 7. And we got this family's Christmas list, and they were asking for things like pillows and pajamas and blankets, and not things that my kids would put on their Christmas list, you know, at all. And so my kids were having a hard time, you know, going to shopping, because they're thinking, how are we shopping for Christmas presents? Now, we did, of course, buy some fun things. But we went to this family's house, and it wasn't a house, actually. It was like a tractor trailer that had been converted. There was no running water. There was no electricity. And as we were standing there, you know, the kids started playing in the yard. And then I told my son, I said, okay, it's time to go. And he said, well, are they going home now, too? And it just hit me so hard. I thought, oh my goodness, he can't even conceive of this. Like, his brain can't even understand the fact, you know, that they live here and that they wanted pillows for Christmas. But there's traditions like that. And there's, you know, traditions that are lighter and easier. What is your favorite tradition? We're asking all of our guests for the rest of the month to share one special Christmas tradition from their family. What is yours, Valerie?
I love that story. And I feel like those sharing traditions, they do, and they tend to be the ones that my kids ask to do again. Whereas some of the other ones, they might be like, oh yeah, we do that. But those where we are sharing, they're like, okay, when are we going to do that thing where we share? And so I love that. The one that I was going to share today is something that I actually got from a friend when my kids were very small. But this is going to go back to also how we're tweaking it as they're growing. So when I was just on Facebook, and a childhood friend posted that every day leading up to Christmas, they hide the baby Jesus from their nativity scene with a card with a Bible verse that has one of the names of Jesus from the Bible. So a name that he's given himself, or a name someone else has called him, like Light of the World or Bread of Life. And so she had these Bible verses, and she hid the baby Jesus. And so it was like, where's baby Jesus? And we found the baby Jesus. And then we read the verse and talked about like why that was a name that Jesus wants us to call him and what that means. And I really loved that, because it helps us bring the full spectrum of Jesus' life and a focus on faith in him now, you know, that he didn't stay a baby. He grew up and he showed God's love to the world, which is also a theme of Share the Joy. And so I remember doing that with my kids. I asked her, I was like, can you send me the verses? And now we actually have them on our website, and my sister did some digital art to go with them. So it's really fun. But at first I just drew pictures and just, you know, did it very homemade. And it was so special to hunt for the baby Jesus and to read those verses together. Well, my kids are older now, and last year I got a little bit of pushback about finding the baby Jesus. And so this year I was like, well, okay, we need to tweak this because I want them, you know, to feel like I'm responding to them and this is for them. So now we are lighting our Advent candle every Sunday as we go into Christmas and reading one of the verses at that time. But I feel like when they get a little older and they're not right, you know, right now they're trying to be like very like, I am big, you know, watch me grow. I don't do those little kids anything anymore. But I feel like maybe in their later teen years, we'll get back to hiding the baby Jesus and make it just some kind of adventure. Maybe we'll hide it, you know, extreme style or something like that. So
I think you bring up a really good point, Valerie, because it is real when our kids are little, they have such wonder in their eyes over everything. You know, it can be something really small or something big on Christmas, but they just, it's very easy, I think, just to get swept up in the wonder of that. And then they go through this phase where it, like, just like you said, I'm big, I'm don't do that little kid stuff anymore. But you know, now my kids are 20, 18, 16, and 14. I mean, I came in last Christmas and found them watching like the old Christmas cartoons, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, and they're watching it. All of a sudden it's like, it's okay to be cool again. And those things come around. And I think it's our job as parents just to lead in that space, you know, to adapt when we need to adapt. But the intent behind what you're doing is still there. And I think that's really beautiful. Well, the website that you talked about, just in case you're wondering, you're thinking, hey, I want those scriptures. I want to do that. I've got little kids. I want to do Hide the Baby Jesus. How fun is that? It's OurEverydayParables.com. That's OurEverydayParables.com. And not only do you find that on there, I'm seeing how to celebrate your, is this how to celebrate your kids with a simple Christmas tradition? But there's also all kinds of other resources. Just the one that's coming to right across my screen here is Finding Grace in a Botched Bedtime. I think there's no parent that can't relate to that, especially at the holidays. Valerie, what happens? You've been a teacher. You know this happens like right before the holidays. Kids just have this rambunctious energy.
Yes.
And we're all like, we all need a break, right?
Yes.
Well, why do you think traditions are so important? And why are you investing time and energy in creating them?
Yes. I love that question. And I know that a couple episodes ago, you addressed this as well. I believe it was when you were talking with Jeff Land, maybe, but I love that you brought up the science of traditions. And I've been looking a lot at that too. And I love it because, you know, I'm thinking down the road, when my kids are older, when they're adults, I mean, as much as I hope they will be closely following Jesus and staying very connected to our family, there's no guarantee of that. And so traditions are a way to help bring back those lessons that we've taught them, especially traditions like we've been talking about that are integrated with our values, either our faith values or compassion for others. Kids are always going to encounter Christmas. So as they do, you know, out in the culture, then hopefully those faith things that we've woven in or those service activities will come back to them too and just be a reminder of what's really important and kind of like what is home to them, home base.
I completely agree. And it really creates a powerful emotional connection, you know, where they have that. And I'll tell you, as one who has kids now in college, it creates a powerful magnet for them to want to come home because they want to engage in those traditions with us. And one of the traditions that we have, Valerie, is one of our probably most sacred traditions of Christmas is attending Christmas Eve service. And I know that can be really hard when you're visiting family or maybe you're traveling or you have other family obligations. But I'll tell you, there is something really sacred about being in church on Christmas Eve. And I said this on the episode with Jeff Land, that you can play Silent Night and give me a candle and I will start crying instantly. But now our kids know that, you know, and they expect that. And to hear the Christmas story again and again and again, it just, There's something so sacred about that, which I think is beautiful. Now, speaking of the Christmas story, you are passionate about raising kids on stories. It's one of the reasons why you're writing stories now. Tell us more about that and why it's so important.
Yes. So we, as humans, are wired to learn through stories and to relate to other people through stories. There's a lot of research behind this that the ideas are just much more sticky when they're embedded in a story versus like a bullet list or a definition. I mean, there are a lot of ways to learn, but stories are among the most grounding and just memorable. And so I want to tap into that natural way we're made to help my kids. You know, this world is big, and at all times they are processing, like, what does this world mean? Like, where is my place in this world? And stories are a great way to help them process that, kind of a step back from real life. So there's that space to think and then, and work through and maybe experience different cultures or experience different situations and have a place to talk about them. So that's one way. And also just knowing that when we introduce our values in stories, then they can become much more memorable and be like a springboard to have those deeper conversations.
Well, a deeper conversation, a story to have, would be sharing your own faith story with your kids. And sometimes I think it's hard for us to be intentional about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when do you start sharing that? When do you start weaving elements of that? What if there's elements of your testimony that, you know, you think, oh, I'm not sure if I want to talk mm-hmm. to them about that. You give a lot of guidance about sharing your own faith story with your kids. So how do you think you start doing that? What are some best tips that you would have?
Well, I think back to when my son was in first grade and his first grade teacher was just talking to me about helping kids write just stories. I mean, it wasn't a Christian situation, just write stories. And she said, you know, people don't talk to their kids like they used to. They don't just like talk about like things, you know, as you drive or things about the day or like the struggles they had. We're all so busy. You know, we have screens. Maybe my kids are very guilty of like reading in the car. I'm like, I love books, but close the book and talk to your mom. So I think the place to start, and especially if you feel intimidated about sharing your faith story, is just talking about other things. Just get in the habit of talking to your kids about your day, your struggle, maybe a place that you felt, you know, if you want to get a little deeper, that God met you in the day, or a place you saw something that reminded you of God. And those things will lead into that personal experience, especially like the moment that you realized you needed the Lord, or the moment that you, you know, came back to Him. That will more naturally happen when we get in the habit of doing that. And then I think just like everything with parenting, a lot of it starts with us. So I would say taking that time to just pray, voice that desire to God, say, I want to do this, you know, show me, and then just try to be aware of situations where we can weave in that conversation. A lot of what we talk about on our Everyday Parables, in addition to children's books, is those everyday faith moments. So just trying to keep our own eyes open to when do we notice God in our day, and then we'll be more likely to be able to bring that up with our kids as well.
Well, you know, and there will be families this Christmas who are spending time with extended family. And there are a lot of families out there who are very blessed to have a heritage of faith. Mm-hmm. So they have grandparents who are Christians. And, you know, I just think I have a special heart for grandparents, because I know they see today's generation struggling. They see the things that they're facing and they want to help. And I can't help but think that it would be a great time over the holidays to draw those stories out of grandparents and to see that heritage of faith. Do you have any suggestions for grandparents maybe who want to share their story with their grandkids?
That's a tough one, because I know that there can seem to be a big gap in the generations, but I think it goes back to traditions. You know, traditions can be such a conversation opener for grandparents as well. So whether it's something like a scavenger hunt or baking cookies, those are places where you can share. I remember baking cookies with my mom, and this is what we did. Or I remember going to church with my family, and this is one of my favorite songs. And those things can bridge into those deeper conversations.
I could not agree more. And I think it's, I would encourage parents to, I've had some other authors on, Casey Hilty would be one. And she talked about even doing a museum tour where, you know, you walk around your grandparents' house like it's a museum and you ask them to tell you about different pieces that interest you. And there are so many ways to weave faith into those things. And here's what God was doing in my life at that time. And so I just absolutely love that. I think that, you know, telling kids our Christmas stories is such an important thing to do. And especially we have so many helps around us, mm-hmm. you know, we have, there's special church events and there are special, you know, church, programs that you can go to, and there are books that you can read. There are all those kinds of things. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about how we differentiate our personal stories and fictional stories with our kids. And maybe we'll even put our toe in that water of, you know, do you have Santa? Do you not have Santa? Oh, I know, man. Valerie's like, wait, we didn't talk about this. But I do want to, before we go to break, congratulate Sandra from Iowa. Now, Iowa is a long way from Texas, Sandra. I hope you're doing okay in that cold weather up there. Like, we got 80 degrees down here in Houston today. It's nice. But regardless of how cold it is, we're going to warm up your mailbox with this copy of Share the Joy, a Christmas Lift the Flap book written by author Valerie Ellis. So if we are going to be doing a lot of giveaways, by the way, for the rest of the month, we'll be giving away a lot of books live on the air, so you'll want to be listening every day at 2 to see what you could maybe get. Well, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Valerie.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to this Monday edition of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are talking with Valerie Ellis. She's a children's book author, a speaker, and founder of the online resource Our Everyday Parables. Go check it out if you haven't checked it out already. And her new book, Share the Joy, and you can also get some free downloadable resources on how to share the joy with your kids, whether they're little and the preschoolers or they're older. There are ways to translate that. And we've been talking about the value of tradition. Now, if you listen to my show with Jeff Land, talking about traditions, we talked about how they can teach and reinforce your family's values. Now, it's really interesting because there's a lot of science that supports traditions. Traditions provide a source of identity. They say, this is us. This is what we do. This is who we are. We are the Peck family, and we always do this. And traditions help bond families closer together. They ensure that people take time for emotional connection. When we are engaged in a tradition, we disengage digitally, which is something that we really need. We need those social connections. And traditions create lasting memories for our children, feelings of warmth, feelings of togetherness, and an invisible tether for nostalgia to make them want to come back home. And as parents with grown children, isn't that what we all want? We all want our kids to come home for Christmas. Traditions also provide kids with security. So if there is turmoil in your life, if you're moving, if there's a divorce, if there is death, if there's a job change that is changing the way that you're living your everyday life, if there is a military move, these holiday traditions can bring a sense of stability and a sense of calm and comfort. And again, just such a way to celebrate whatever makes your family unique. So I want to share with you really quickly here one tradition that we started. And I have to tell you, I have like 987 Christmas traditions. I am very much into Christmas tradition. My kids will tell you, like, I love tradition. But one of the things that we have been doing to try to de-emphasize a emphasis on material things is to give experiential gifts. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we try to give experiences, something that we can both do together. So I'm going to give you some ideas of some experiences that you could give your kids. Now, that could be a cooking class, and it doesn't even have to be some fancy schmancy, you know, go to Williams and Sonoma or Sur La Table or whatever that may be. You can make a cooking class in your house. It could be a pottery class, a painting class, a sports lesson, ride horses or photography or dance. Or maybe if you've got a house full of boys, like I know we have a lot of listeners who do, maybe it's something like axe throwing. I mean, that doesn't really scream tradition to me, but maybe that would be good. Here's some other ideas. What about a book club or a movie club where you set out in advance and wrap up for Christmas morning 12 movies or 12 books that you are going to watch or read together, and then plan a fun themed night once a month that you can get together and talk about that or watch that together. You can take a master class. So if you go, there's online classes like masterclass.com. And they offer, you could just join for a season. They offer really inexpensive memberships, and you could take classes about arts or entertainment or food or design and style or home style or science, gaming, writing, all kinds of things. Now, you could also do a sporting event where you get a buy a shirt from your kid's favorite sports team and then go to that game. Now, that could be something like the local school. You could go to a local high school game, and something for every budget. You could also do this is one of my favorites, a this or that experience. So create a gift box, giving them two options to choose from, two budget-friendly ideas. So you could give them two camping locations or two cities to visit. To make it economical, you could stay with a friend or a family member, or choose two different beaches you could go to, or two different sporting events. You could also do the gift of time. Let me tell you, parents, this is what your kids want from you the absolute most. I want you to think, what is your child's absolute favorite thing to do? Is it gaming? Is it some sort of sports? Is it doing makeup tutorials, which you still don't understand? Is it cooking? Make a box that's themed like that, and then give them 2 hours of your time doing exactly what they want you to do that is interesting to them. I promise you, they will love it. But you know, we can talk about all these things, Valerie, and the most important thing is Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And so before we left, we were talking about different traditions. And don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything for little ears that may be in the car or cause any sort of controversy. But different families have different traditions. So we have Santa, we have Elf on the Shelf, we have all kinds of traditions. But I think we can all agree, Valerie, that the most important thing is Jesus. So how do we differentiate true stories from fictional stories with our kids? What advice do you have on that?
Well, from my research and experience, this tends to be a pretty natural process for kids as they grow and mature out of their toddler and preschool years and into early elementary. So if your little ones believe their favorite cartoon characters are real, don't worry. It will probably resolve naturally. But there are things we can do to support this. And one of my favorite ones is to make a habit of discussing the books we read or the movies that we're watching. And just ask kids, like, let it be kid-led. Ask them if this could really happen. And if they say yes, you don't have to try to convince them. That would probably do more harm than good. You could just continue the conversation about how some things are made up. And just like many of our traditions and our habits that we're building know, we're going to come back to this again. It doesn't all have to be solved right now. Another way to help kids make connections between a story and another way is to help kids make connections between a story and their real life. So you could say something like, even though this story is made up, it reminds me of something that happened. Maybe something that happened to me, or something that happened when you were little, or something that happened when I was little. Or you could relate it to a feeling. So you could just kind of eke in there, we know that llamas don't really wear pajamas and call for their mamas. But
they don't.
Well,
spoiler,
we do know that, but this character is experiencing feelings that we might feel sometime. So do you ever miss me when you're at daycare, or do you ever miss grandma when she has to get back on the plane? We can do this with all kinds of stories and just ask kids questions. Can you think of a time when you had trouble sharing with a friend, like the character in this book, or when someone when you gave someone a present and made them so happy, just like, you know, we're seeing here in this cartoon? And so just kind of relating that to real life, but then we can kind of put that deposit in there that some things are made up. And just dropping little phrases like that can help kids put the pieces together. And this works when reading the Bible too, so, but kind of opposite. So we find this story in a book, this story about Noah. And some stories we read in books are made up, but this story is true. You know, this story about Jesus coming to earth is true. So, and just little things like that, and it will become clear to kids as they grow.
That is such great advice. I especially love identifying with the feeling piece of it, because mm-hmm. that's something that is, you know, feelings are just feelings. And being able to identify with that, I think, is very relatable and a great way to open up conversation. Now, for me, Valerie, as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I can affirm everything that you're saying. And that preschool age, especially, what we call it is magical thinking. And mm-hmm. they don't believe that they are dressing like a superhero. They believe they are a superhero, which is why you'll see capes jumping off, you know, a piano bench, like thinking yes. they can fly. And I think that this is something that we do have to steward carefully and know that at that preschool age, that they do have difficulty distinguishing between what is real and what is not. And so some of the ways that you said that, I love that you also said, this is not something that's going to go away in a day. This is a phase that lasts several years, mm-hmm. but just providing the pivot back to that truth, like this is truth. And I think that is really great. And you give a lot of tips about everyday moments for year round. I mean, this is really, it reminds me of Deuteronomy, like as we walk along the road, and it's not just something that we have, oh, we gave this one lesson on this, so check the box. Mm. These are continual conversations. So what advice do you have for everyday moments for year round, not just at Christmas time?
Yes. Well, I like to look at things in our everyday lives. And just bring boarding off of Christmas, you know, like Christmas lights. It's a great opportunity to talk about all kinds of lights. When kids are very small, something concrete like that Christmas light reminds me of the star that led the wise men to Jesus. Or when they're a little older, they can have a little bit more abstract understanding, and you can talk about, you know, all of these lights remind me that Jesus is the light of the world, and he's the light in the darkness, and we can look to him to understand ourselves and our world more clearly. And then, you know, when spring is coming and things are growing, that's a wonderful time to talk about, you know, how God grows us, how seeds are planted and they don't grow right away. And we sometimes have to wait and be patient. Or, you know, in summer, one I like to talk about is, you know, it gets hot here in the Houston area. And when we can't find that shade and we just need relief, we can just bring it up with our kids. You know, this reminds me of how we are seeking relief from this world sometimes, you know, and God is our source. So let's go get a cool drink of water and remember, you know, that God can refresh us and refill us, and we can come to him every day for what we need. It's just a simple moment. And then, you know, you can extend it with a conversation or not. But as we drop those moments into our day, it will become more natural for our kids to know, like, Jesus is real. He is someone that I can count on every day. And my parent is a safe place that, you know, I can talk about with my faith questions or my life questions, and just know that this is what our family's about. Our family's about conversation and sharing with each other.
Well, you just gave a really important practical tool, because I think there are a lot of parents who maybe don't intentionally have conversation about faith. Like maybe you go to church together and you're all sitting there together listening to the sermon, or, you know, worshiping or singing. But, you know, talking at home can be difficult for some parents about that. And I don't want you to miss this if you're listening, because that simple tool that she just gave was, there were three words. This reminds me. That is such a really easy transition to be able to bring up something when you're talking about God. Because, you know, if you're like some of the situations you're describing, or if you're sitting under a tree or you're looking for shade, you can say, you know, children, Just like we do not have shade on this hot day, we often do not have shade in the oppression that is the world, you know, and you feel like all of a sudden you become this TV preacher. But I am going to totally adopt that, because just having those three words that, hey, kids, this reminds me. Mm-hmm. And I can see that over time being such a beautiful tree that you're growing in and of itself, with bearing fruit of all of the things like, this reminds my mom that God is faithful. Mm. This reminds my mom, like, that's just such a natural way to bring it up. Do you have any other advice maybe for parents who are thinking, you know, I haven't been as intentional about that as I should. And now you're feeling mom guilt, or dad guilt. I never want you to feel that, right? So what do you say?
Yeah, I think what you said about over time is really key. And two things come to mind, but the first one is the look on my son's face the first time I did that was just like, okay. I think in awkwardness, he might have stood up and kind of walked around the room, and then like just, it was awkward. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what I was doing, but I put it out there and, you know, I tried it. And the next time we talked about it, you know, it was a little bit more of a conversation, and still every now and then I'll ask them, like, you know, another thing I like to use is if we're reading a book that might not be a Christian book, but there's an element in there that I am like, I really see a faith element coming through here. I might ask, like, well, where do you see God in this book? And sometimes they might have a response and sometimes not, but just making the habit, like you said, over time, that will be meaningful to them. And over time, we will have conversations every now and then, and it won't be awkward. But if it is at first, just be encouraged. It's over time.
Absolutely. That just really made me belly laugh, because it's so true. I mean, that's what I have too. And I had that same experience when I decided that instead of telling my kids, I'm going to pray for you, I just started praying for them right then. Mm-hmm. So when I go in to tell them goodnight, I ask them, how can I pray for you? And they'll say, you know, sometimes they may say nothing, or sometimes they may say, I really want you to pray for me like this. And I thought, it's so easy for me just to say, okay, I will. Mm-hmm. It was a lot harder at first to say, okay, dear God.
Yes. You know?
And the first time, and I had the same experience, the first time I did that, they were like, well, thanks. Okay. But over time, they've just accepted that as, and now over time, they'll ask me for it. Hey, can you pray for me right now? I'll send a voice text. And those things are so important. Well, you can find Valerie Ellis at OurEverydayParables.com. You can go to ShareTheJoyBook.com. Congratulations again to Sandra from Iowa for winning a copy of this book. Tune in tomorrow for more Christmas joy and more Christmas giveaways. We will see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.